If you'll turn yourself to the screen behind you, we just got a little video.
He's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him. For yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
That's my king. Do you know him? Do you know him? I don't know about you, but it doesn't take long for us to get dissuaded in a different direction. Have you ever had a great friend? And that maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's someone else, and all of a sudden something they do is not so good, or you don't understand, or someone starts to say something about them, and all of a sudden, quickly, you're like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's kind of like some of the fans that follow certain sports teams. When the team doesn't do well, they waver a little bit, you know, but not Toronto fans. You know, they're the strongest fans ever because they never win. Oh, forgive me, Lord. I'm going to be in trouble here. And that, but in that part is, I just want to, I feel God has put in my heart over these next few weeks, we want to stir back inside of us that his name is still worthy of everything. He is still able to do anything and everything you could ever dream or ask according to his riches and his glory. And that this morning, we want to talk about what's in a name. What's in a name? We want to kind of unfold something for you, and that I started a little while ago when I first came here, and I started to explain just about what's in my name. And that as I searched and I looked at the different meanings and names, some of you that were here that day, this is old news for you, but I'm going to walk through it again because I really feel God's leading us into something to understand you were created for a purpose. You matter. Oh, maybe you don't like your name. Maybe you do like your name. In my last church, we had 6 people that went by a different name because they didn't like their name. One was called Hazel and didn't like Hazel, so she went by Chris. Another one was called, she went by Barb, and that by Viola was her name, and she didn't like that, you know, so she changed her name. You know, God's in the business of changing names. Amen? He did it in the Bible. And that he's doing it in your life and my life. And that maybe it's not a physical name change, but it's a change inside. Once I was defeated, and that now I'm victorious in Christ. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, God's in the business of changing names all the time. And that touching our lives and renewing a right spirit with inside of us. If we will just get our eyes high enough to believe that God's bigger than whatever you're facing today. No matter what anyone else says to you, oh, the world's constantly trying to remind us that God is nothing. He's small. He's just a fairy tale just as much as Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie, right from the pit of hell, and that our God is still victorious. He's the creator of all things. He knew and formed you in your mother's womb before you were even born, and that he knew about you, and he says, this is the exact time that I need you to be here, and that in this place, in this community, in your family, because he says, I got a plan for you. And if we would just rise inside of us to dare enough to believe, then we'll be able to see, not only see our good God, but able to be partners with him. Amen? For he's not done with you, and you matter. If you get nothing else in this part from this side of it, is that you matter to God. You are important. Everything you say and you do, it matters. Oh, it makes all of the difference if you'll partner with him. If you don't partner with him, it doesn't make a whole lot of eternal difference, but it can make a lot of mess, amen? But if you partner with him, it can change everything. One word from God is more than enough. One touch from him can change everything. So what's in a name? My name is Philip Allen Smith. I'm the new lead pastor here, just in case if you're new, I'm new too, so hey, we can join in together at this. I'm only here 3 weeks. My name, Philip, in the Greek, and that if you bring it out of the Greek, it's phileo. You know, we get the three types of love in there. We get the phileo love, which is a brotherly love, eros love, or agape love. Eros love is kind of that love between a husband and a wife kind of idea, and agape love is the God's love that overwhelms us. And so my name, Philip, finds its root in brotherly love. There was named 5 kings in the ancient Macedonia that was named Philip. I thought that was kind of cool. 6 kings of France and 5 kings of Spain. One of the disciples were named Philip. Another meanings of Philip is warlike or lover of horses. I never knew that it meant lover of horses, and I taught riding lessons and trained horses for, I don't know, about 7 years, and then finally someone came up to me and said, hey, do you know what your name means? I said, no, and they said, it means lover of horses, and I thought that was just really cool, and that God had put a love inside of me for horses that I didn't even know, and all of a sudden, I started to walk out in that and had a great time. Allen means harmony, stone, or noble. I shared before, it also means handsome and fair and that, but my wife says, man, you are getting really bold in your old age. Smith means tradesman, worker of metal, a blacksmith, a silversmith, a goldsmith. The act of process or treating metal by heating, by hammering, by forging it. This is a scripture God put in my heart a long time ago. It's from Jeremiah 6:27, and this is what it reads. I have made you a tester of metals, and my people the ore, that you may observe and test their ways. I don't know about you. Not that I connected the dots, but as God was bringing these things back, I start to hear and think, wait a second here. That sure sounds like what a pastor does. I ran from being a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. Last thing I wanted to do, I wanted to count moose and hang out in the bush as a forest ranger until God got a hold of my heart and began to say, well, that's who you might want to be, but this is what I have. Do you want to come on an adventure with me? And I tell you, it's been an amazing adventure for the last 21 years and that walking as a pastor with him. But as a pastor, I'm called to edify, to encourage, to correct, and release people into the work of the Lord. Ephesians 4:11 to 16 says, and 2 Timothy 4:2 says, and then in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen to me. Not only do you have a God in heaven that is for you and not against you. He says in his word that he created you to succeed and not to fail. I want to declare today that you would understand that here at Rockcliffe, you have a pastor and a leadership team that is for you and that is not against you. And that as we learn and we grow and we walk together, and that as we rise together and we dare enough to believe, and that as we move forward, and that God is wanting to draw the treasures up, because he says we lack nothing. We lack nothing. Everything we need for this service is right here, right now. Oh, we're not waiting for the queen to come in or for someone else. And oh, if only so-and-so came. No, everything we need for Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do today is right here. If you and I will open our hearts and allow him to do what he needs to do. So why did God make Phil? Well, if I break that saying down, then I'm a tradesman of brotherly love and harmony. I was created to lead others into personal intimacy with God and to find greatness and release fullness within the family. In other words, I'm on a constant treasure hunt and I love adventure. And I'm just looking for treasure to draw it up, because God has dropped treasure all over our community and all over this place in your heart and mine. And he's just longing for someone to dare enough to move past an offense and cover it with love so he can draw up that goodness. And that's what we want to be about here. And that because we understand, and that just that God created us all and we all matter. Amen? And that 1 Peter 1, 6-8 says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. I believe with all my life, every single moment of my life up till now, God has ordered and put into place, and he has brought it in such a way that he's turned it around for good. What the enemy intended for harm and bad, he turned it for good, and he's lined us up for this moment. And I'm incredibly excited. If I can say it again, I am incredibly excited about what God has in store for your life and for mine when we'll partner together. Amen? We don't have time to sit back. We don't have time to say someone else can do and that, but if we'll partner together and that, and we'll reach out, because the Bible says the harvest is plenty. Plentiful. But at Rockcliffe, we're believing the workers are not few, but they're plentiful too. Amen? And that because we understand why we exist and why we're moving forward. All the trials, all the griefs, all the difficulties, the Lord will turn around for your good and for his glory if you'll let him. They are the trophies, they are the testimonies that need to be shared. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was broken, but now I'm whole. I was in chains and bondage, but now I'm free. I am not who I used to be. I have been made new. Can we get an amen? Amen. And that's what God is doing in your life and mine. So what's in a name? And that before I dig in, I just paused for a moment and I just asked Holy Spirit, God, what's in a name? And this is some of the things he's spoken to my heart. I'm terrible with names. That's why God gave me the last name Smith. It's the only one I can pronounce, okay? So if I pronounce something wrong, please forgive me. Louise. Clogston? Am I saying it right? No? How do we say it? Clogston. The Lord is speaking to you. You are a famous warrior. You are a famous warrior. That's what Louise means. One of the meanings, but that's the one that he told me to speak into your life. And that to say you're a famous warrior, there's more people watching you and more people seeing the goodness of God through your life. And don't quit. Don't ever let the enemy dissuade you or discourage you, because you are a famous warrior. Owen. Owen. Owen means young warrior. Owen. Don't let it. I'm going to give you an exhortation that Paul gave to Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Because great is your God inside of you, young warrior. And that's so step out, rise up, and see what God wants to do in you and through you. Barry. The meaning of Barry is fair-haired. You know, I don't know. Barry doesn't really have a whole lot there, but you know what? Hey, I'm just saying what it is. Samuel. And that means a man of God. God has heard. Kim is bold family. I don't know if you know Kim. I've just been getting to know Kim lately. But one thing I've learned with Kim is family is everything. Her home family, and if you see her, sometimes she runs like a chicken with a head cut off around here, doing everything. And you know why? It's not because she's a workaholic. It's not because, you know, I got to do. It's because God has placed inside of her such a boldness for family. And it's coming out of her. David, man, there's like 500 Davids here. I'm just going to call every man David. And if I call you David first, just forgive me because it's the only name I can remember right now. But David means dear one or beloved. Dave Adams, every boss that I have, everyone from every tier have all called me and that and said, you know, oh, we're so excited you'd be at Rockcliffe. Oh man, God has just got so much good in store. And every time they always mention David. David Adams, he's a man of God. He loves God. Connect with him. And I just say, you are God's beloved. God is well pleased with you. You're too hard on yourself. And you need to stop being that. And we've had that conversation. But I'm just saying to you, everywhere as I turn, I hear your name. And that you are beloved more than you realize. Raja David. Well, Raja means prince or king. And David, we already learned, was beloved. And I feel like God is trying to rise you up at this season in your life. It's not by chance that you're here. He's trying to rise you up as the prince who is beloved. And that rise you into a place of authority that you never thought you could have. And that, but God's just, he's saying this is very strategic for you and your family. And that, so don't get distracted during this season. June. I don't know if June's here. And that June. And that as I was praying, I just felt like God says, you know, June means young, young at heart. You hang out with June, man. If you are just kind of feeling old, go see June. Because she's not old at all. Old is a mentality of the mind. It's not an age. It's a mentality of the mind and the heart. And she is young at heart. I tell you, we laughed a lot. And that as she shared some of the stories and some of the things of her life and just what God has done. And I just encourage you to hang out with June. She'll bring some youngness to you. Ruth. Ruth, good friend. It's a good friend. You need a friend? Call on Ruth. It's the way God wired her. No matter what your name is, you matter to God. You were created with and for a purpose in mind, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. No matter what the meaning is, God has the ability to change your name, just like Jacob to Israel and Saul to Paul. But most importantly, your life here on earth and in heaven is not based on your past, but it's based on today. We got to stop living in yesterday and we've got to live today. Today has enough cares of its own. We can't hang on to yesterday's and today's. It gets too weighty. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And when we start to rise up from that in the abundance of our heart, there's nothing we can't face and we can't walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, we're not to sit in it. We're not to play in the mud. We're to dust ourselves off when we fall down and get back up and go. And that God created us with that inside of us, that we would be bold and be strong and move forward. For he has made you new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, a new creation. The old life has gone, and the new life has begun. Oh, I don't know about you, but yeah, I'm trying to stir you up a little bit. I'm trying to get you a little excited. I'm trying to help you understand that God's not dead. He's surely alive. And that how important is God's name? Consider the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave us. It began this way, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name," in Matthew 6, 9 to 14. In another version, it says, "Our Father in the heavens, let your name be sanctified." Later, Jesus prayed to God, "Father, glorify your name." And in response, God spoke from heaven in John 12:28, saying, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." And those that were around, when all of a sudden the heavens opened up and God spoke down towards them, they said it was like thunder cracks. It was like an angel was speaking, and that to them from the heavens. He says, "I have glorified my name and will glorify it again." Clearly, God's name is of utmost importance. In Christianity, the name of God has always had much deeper meaning and significance than just being a label. It's more than just a label. Oh, well, we have to call it something, and what are we going to call it? And that kind of like when Peter, he showed up on the scene. Listen, to get a picture for that, you kind of got to go to Israel. Because you know that time when he showed up and all of a sudden there was all these unknown gods, and he says, all these gods, and then there was one that was unknown. He says, "Whoa, hey, can I tell you about this one, the unknown God? I know him personally, and I want to tell you why I walked on that site." And in that place where he would have addressed the crowd, in the caves, there was all these places that were cut in, and there was all these different gods and different ones people were looking at and they were speaking to. And Paul addresses the crowd using what was around him. And he says, "Hey, I know that God personally. Listen to me. There's no other God, no fat Buddha, no other thing. I'm not trying to be disgraceful here. Please don't hear me wrong. No other person that can do what God can do. We need to stop equating him." I love Star Wars. I do. I love Star Wars. I love the fact of the fight of good and evil. But listen to me. What Star Wars has done for this generation is simply this. It's brought and elevated Satan up to the same level as God, that all of a sudden they're on equal plane trying to fight it out. Listen to me. The devil is but a speck of sand. And God is bigger than the whole universe and stands towering over him. He doesn't even have to step on him. He doesn't even have to do anything because the devil's got nothing on him. The problem is, he's got everything on you and me. Unless we get ourselves covered under the blood and we allow God to reign inside of us, to have control, and that then if we're just trying to do this on our own, or we're trying to play it and fake it till we make it or whatever, and that, well, the devil's going to have a heyday. Because he's bigger than you. He's bigger than me. No matter how good you try to be, you're never good enough. I'm never good enough. We're never big enough. We're not able enough. But it's only him who is greater that resides inside of us. When we allow him, not tucked just into a back corner that we bring out like out of our pocket on a Sunday, and that we shine out, "Hey, I love Jesus," but that we allow him to take control of every area of our life. We allow him to lead us into the paths of righteousness, to be a lamp unto our feet. When we start to allow him to rise up, well then, man, devil, get lost. Get out of the way. You've got nothing on us. There is nothing he can do. He can try to take you. He can try to rearrange you. He can try to destroy you, but there is nothing he can do, because the Lord God Almighty still stands on the throne. He is still your defender, and he is still your refuge that you can run into when you need. Oh, I don't know about you, but I hope you know the same God that I know, and that because he still sits on the throne, and he is everything he said he is. I could never brag him up enough, because he is indescribable, as we just heard. He is greater than anything I could ever say about him. So Holy Spirit, continue to help me to unfold what he's placed in my heart. The name of God is not a name we came up with. It has divine origin. It's based on a divine revelation that God himself told us his name. Listen to me for a second, because this is so important. Respect for the name of God. It's one of the Ten Commandments, which teaches us, listen, this is important, not simply to avoid using the name in an improper way. That's not the intent. That's not the real intent of the Ten Commandments on that part of using the Lord's name in vain. It's not just, oh, well, I just got to be careful not to use it, but it's an exhortation to use his name and exalt his name in a great way, to lift his name up. It's not to, oh, well, if I can just do this, I'm okay. No, it's a license and a challenge for us to begin to declare his name. So all of a sudden I face a problem and I say, in Jesus' name, you know what? No, you're not going to dictate my day. No, attitude, no, that's rising up, or that thought that rise up against one of your coworkers. No, you're not going to dictate my day. That we all of a sudden, we begin to say no to the things that the world is constantly bombarding us. Listen to me, it is not easy to be a Christian. It is not easy serving the Lord in this generation that we live in. We're in a biblically illiterate generation. They are not opening their Bibles. Constant, although we have thousands of versions now, we have multiple options online, offline, in the book, you know, have someone read it to you, all sorts of things. It's like going down to the cereal aisle. I remember as a kid, my mom used to say, go get cereal, and I had option A, B, C, or maybe if I was lucky, D, but now one whole aisle is full of cereal, and it's like, oh my goodness, what cereal do I pick? The options are so vast in our generation today. It's not because their heart's not right. It's not because there's no desire for God. It's they're so overwhelmed with options. What do I do? What do I pick? What if I get the wrong one? What if this? What if that? And in that part is God's wanting us to rest a little bit here and us to understand, listen, it's not about a do and a don't list. And that it's about a part where God is saying, it's time for us to rise back up. Don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. David didn't step out against Goliath with his mouth closed. He said, you might come against me with stone. I come against you in the name of my God. Oh, we need to rise back up. The mention of his name. Every demon will tremble. Not at the mention of Phil. Woo! But when all of a sudden, I don't just use his name, throwing it around, but when I actually believe in my heart that, yeah, you know what, God, you are bigger. Jesus, there is no other name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, church, it's time that we pray the prayer of faith again. That we actually believe what we're singing. We believe what we're speaking. And that everything inside of our lives will bend to the word of God. And that we actually, this is everything. At Rockcliffe Church, and that, please, you challenge me and Pastor Nathan over and over again if we step out anything that's opposite to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is everything. If we don't have the Word of God, we have nothing. Yet there's churches today. One day they preach from the Word of God. The next time they preach from the newspaper. And the next day they preach from some famous philosopher. And the Bible is just, it's a source. I'm here to say to you, it is the source and the only source, because the Word of God is God. You want to get to know God? You want to get to know who Jesus is? It's the Word. It's Him revealed to us in Scripture. That's why it's living and breathing, because it's Jesus Himself. John chapter 1, verse 1. For the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus. And that the Word of God, and that is precious. It's like a double-edged sword. It has that ability not only as we speak it out, but as you speak out God's Word over someone's life, what happens? You kind of like speak it out, and then it comes back, and it does a double-edged. It does something in your life too. I've never once, and that been able to stand on one of God's promises, speak a word into someone's life, and God not start to do something in mine. The key is we got to remain on the potter's wheel. Got to stay on there. We're just jars of clay. Don't get puffed up, because we're just jars of clay. It's the treasure that's inside of us that is worth its weight in gold. And His name is Jesus. And when we start to raise up our eyes off of ourselves and off the circumstance or off of someone that we were disappointed because they were a godly man or woman and all of a sudden they failed. Listen to me, every one of us are destined to fail at one moment or another because none of us are perfect. But the higher we elevate someone in our life, and that we start putting them up into that place and that high place that only God should have, when they fall, it's like God Himself fell. And how many people walk away from ministry and walk away from things because of that? Oh, I'm here to tell you, don't put anyone or anything into that high place. Not your spouse, not your kids, Not your job, not finances, not anything. Because when they crumble, which they all do at one point or another, and they have difficulties, which they all do at one time, because we live in a real world with real people, and that your eyes will get disfocused just on how great and how good Jesus is, how great and good God is, how great and good Holy Spirit is. I'm here to say, let's lift our eyes a little higher and let's return God back to the high place that he deserves. Isaiah 49 says, "You who bring good news to Zion, to the church, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Say to Owen Sound, here is your God," as you pray for them, as you speak into their life, as you draw up the treasure inside of them. Say, here is your God. Your God is thinking about you. Oh, may we never take the credit on our own, because none of us really got anything apart from what he pours into us. The Bible uses over 900 plus titles and attributes, and that to help us connect with the living God. I was blown away when I started looking at it. And we're going to look at some of them over the next weeks. What expresses who God is. Scripture presents many references to the name of God, but the key expressions in the Old Testament is El Shaddai, which means Lord God Almighty, or God, the High and Exalted One. We used to sing a song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakona Adonai. It's Hebrew. And that of lifting up. He's not only high and lifted up and exalted, and that, but he's my master. He's my Lord, Adonai. Oh, when we start to begin to engage into the things that we declare, oh man, it changes everything. Oh, don't ever be a people that just say something or sing something or do something just for the sake of it. But the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, engage in what you're singing. Engage in what you're saying and you're declaring. Oh, I don't know how many people I've met throughout my time of pastoring that stand up and they start declaring things to the devil to get lost, or they declare things about this or that, and then they walk away. And well, I wonder, I think so, I'm not quite sure. Oh, it's time that faith arise in us once again. Not faith in yourself, not faith in what happened last time, but faith in the God that was and is and will always be. Amen? And that as we lift him up, I don't understand everything. You don't understand everything. He says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than ours. We can't comprehend it all. And that, but our job is not to sit there and say, well, God, you didn't do it last time. I don't think you're doing it this time, so I'm not really sure. But our job is to raise with faith and say, God, I don't understand everything, but I do know one thing. You said to rise in faith and begin to declare your goodness. And that's what we're going to do, is speak his goodness everywhere as we go. Jehovah means Lord. And in the New Testament, we have theos in the Greek, which means God, over 1,000 times. Or kurios, Lord or master, or Christos, anointed and a Messiah. Elohim, creator and judge. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, or Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Oh, he's the creator of everything. And remember, he created everything out of nothing. So when you think that there's nothing there and I don't know how anything's going to change, rise your faith in Elohim, that God is the one that can create something from nothing. Even if you can't see it, he can, and he is more than able. You got to just get your eyes off of the circumstances and what's going on and lift them to him. Oh, we serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. And that God says to Moses, say to this to my people of Israel in Exodus 3:15, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations, Yahweh. It's the principal name in the Old Testament. That is God's name, Yahweh. It reveals himself in the English. We hear Jehovah, right? And we're going to go through some Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shimei. I didn't say that one right. But the words that were expressive of who he is, and he is able, more than able. And we're going to try and stir that up as we look at who this God is and what's in a name. But every time you hear the word Yahweh, every time you see the Lord in the English Bible, you should think of his proper name. Like Peter and John, built out of this one word, one phrase, I am. Moses is in the burning bush. And God's asking him to do something that is totally radical. Go back to where you came from. That's hard enough. Hey, how many people have had to, as God's risen you up, set you free and delivered and saved you, and now says, go back to your friends, go back to your spouse, go back to someone and now tell them my goodness. Whoa, tell me to go talk to a stranger. That's a little easier, but to go back into my family or to my friends and start to talk about God, that's hard. Because they're going to say, I know who you are. You were this, you were that. And you remind them, that's who I was, but that's not who I am today. And you begin to be that trophy and begin to raise that testimony. We overcome the enemy, Revelation says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's time to be that living testimony. You are the trophies. You are the testimony of God. That each time and that we begin to understand this, Moses, in that God says, tell him that I am. Well, really, what he's saying is, I am everything. I am anything you need. I am that I am. Enough said. Everything's wrapped up in that. And God has tried to remind us again that he is everything you ever needed and so much more. And that he is more than able. He says, I am that I am. What does that mean? And that, let me quickly wrap up here. It means this. He never had a beginning. Every child asks, who made God? And every wise parent says, nobody made God. God simply is and always was. He has no beginning. When we think of the word, his name, I am, another thing comes out and says about God, that God will never end. He did not come into being and he cannot come out of being because he is being. And that it says in scripture that all of a sudden, God, his presence came in, and like a wedding dress, the train on a wedding dress, that train just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming of his glory. There's no end to God. There's no end. If you think you got all of God, whoa, red flags should fly up and say, man, I got stuck. And I need to backtrack and ask God to repent, and I need to move on again. Listen, you can never grow too old for God. You can never grow too wise for God. You can never grow too strong for God. Samson found that one out, did he not? God is much bigger than you and me. The other reality that we see in his name, I am, is God is absolute reality. There is no reality before him. There is no reality outside of him unless he wills it and makes it. He is all that was eternal. No space, no universe, no emptiness, only God. And that his name, I am, also rings true that God is utterly independent. We sang about that. And he's not dictated by our hands or by what we say to him. He's utterly independent. He depends on nothing to bring him into being or support him or counsel him or make him what he is. He is, I am that I am. Everything that is not God depends totally on God. The entire universe is utterly secondary. It came into being by God and stays in being moment by moment on God's decision on keeping it in being. Listen, let me come to simplicity because I think really simple like a kid and that I'm not a great theologian and that I just simple in my heart is simply this. If God stopped thinking of Phil Smith today, we would be at a different service right now. He is the author of giving me breath. He's the author of giving you breath. And the fact that you are breathing today should encourage you that the great God I am, that I am Yahweh, is thinking about you. And he's saying, I'm not done with you yet. I still got great things for you to partner with me. And that will you rise up with me? Or will you sit back and will you forget that I am that I am? Oh, let us not forget him. And let's not deafen our ears or think that we've arrived or done anything, but that we would rise back up and say, hey, God, as long as I got breath in my lungs, here I am. Here I am. Another thing it stirs about God is all the universe is by comparison to God, nothing. I talked about Star Wars and how it's brought this kind of leveling plane, even though I like Star Wars, don't get me wrong, and that there is no leveling plane. God is just bigger than anything and everything. If he can hold the whole world in his hands, like the kids' song, he can hold you. And he does a really good job at it. God is constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot be improved. Listen to me. He cannot be improved. Sometimes we think that he can, and we try to tell him what to do and how to do it because we just get a little tired because he seems slow or just not turning the way. He cannot be improved. He is not becoming anything. He is who he is. God is absolutely the standard of truth and goodness and beauty. There is no law book to which he looks to know what is right. No almanac to establish facts. No guide to determine what is excellent or beautiful. He himself is the standard of what is right, what is true, and what is beautiful. God does whatever he pleases, and it is always, always right. It is always beautiful. It is always in according with his truth. All reality that is outside him, he created and designed and governs as absolute reality. God is the most important and most valuable reality and person in the universe. He is more worthy of interest and attention and adoration and more enjoyment than any other reality, any other thing that we would put our affection towards, including the entire universe. Melanie's going to come, and we're going to close by singing that song we already sang, You Are God Alone. And we're going to just begin to declare just for a few moments, and the team, if you would come. But before they do, and as they coming for that, I'm reminded of a song that I used to sing, and that is called Oh, Praise Him. And this is what it says, turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside. The sound of angels' awe, the sound of angels' songs as they begin to declare, He is holy, He is holy. Would you join and sing all to Christ the King? How constant, how divine. This song of ours will rise. Oh, how constant and how divine. This love of ours will rise, will rise. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Holy is he. Holy is he. In Jesus' name. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am Yahweh, the Lord. This is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Salvation is just the introduction. It's not the same as getting to know him at a deep level. Many believers, having been introduced to the Lord through salvation, busy themselves with doing the work of the ministry. But they forget really what it's all about. You don't have to do good things to get God's attention. In fact, if you didn't do anything else, God would still love you. God remains constant. So when we're doing things, it's not to get his attention. It's just because he's lavished so much love on us, we can't help but to lavish that love out. Otherwise, if we try and keep it, it just corrupts us. It hurts us. It damages us. It makes us bitter. It makes us kind of wrinkle up. He wants us just to be free. Let that breath of air just blow in, breathe into you like a balloon and take the wrinkles out and just bring it back up to where it needs to be. Oh, breath of God, fill us today. Fill us today with awe and wonder, Holy Spirit. Fill us today once again with a belief and a faith that with our God, there is nothing impossible. But fill us once again and that with a part that we would just believe that with you, Lord, all things are possible. Oh God, Lord, I just thank you right now for what you're speaking. Lord, may awe rise again within us that you are, I am, Yahweh. You are Jehovah. You are my God. And Lord, I bend my knee and I declare you are Adonai, my boss, my master, my Lord, my Savior. I am still in need of you. Not just to get saved, but I am in need of you today. And so, Lord, may you just be exalted in this place as we declare one last time together as a congregation in Jesus' name. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today and let's lift up this one song as we close.